Welcome back, everybody. I am excited to have Lynn Goldsmith in studio. She is a photographer whose photographs are on exhibit right now. You can buy them at the List Gallery at 112 Cumberland Street in Toronto, and you can do that until November 12th. You are someone who has photographed everybody. I started to give a list earlier. David Bowie, Elton John, Kiss, Prince, Ray Charles, the Rolling Stones. It goes on and on and on. Easier to list who you haven't photographed. Your work has appeared in Life, Newsweek, Time, Vanity Fair, Rolling Stone, all over the place. And we were just talking before the break about two of your muses, I guess, Patti Smith and Debbie Harry. And you were talking about how you could figure out how to project the image and the idea of that the person has. And my question would be, do you find that during the shoot, or do you, before you ever take a frame, do you go, okay, in this one we're going to do hard-edged rock and roll singer, and that's what you want to project, or does it come out during the shoot as you're taking the photographs?
I think in life, you have ideas of where you want to go, and then you remain open to the turns in the road.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens in a photo shoot. You go in, if you just walk down that road in life with no plan whatsoever, you might not even see where the turns are.
Right.
And so that's something that I've always felt, that being prepared, you might have to throw it all out the window, but to be prepared, like you prepare for tests in school, but you don't know what questions are really going to be asked. So that kind of thinking, and I always believe that when I look at a film or a photograph, any visual that's presented to me, that if it really has an impact, that the person who created it, generally speaking,
didn't happen by accident.
It didn't happen. Well, happen by accident, but they were ready for it.
But they were ready for it. Well, and I wonder, though, if that has changed a little bit now, because my guess would be that when you're shooting on film, if you do a photo shoot with Patti Smith, you're not taking 4,000 photographs. Whereas on digital, you can just snap away, doesn't matter how many, and then you cull it down from there. And sometimes happy accidents happen. Has it changed? Has digital made the idea of what you do different? Has it made it better or has it made it worse?
Both.
Yeah.
There's always pluses and minuses to everything. Part of the problem for me with digital is that back in the days of film, and I was always conscious of the costs mm-hmm. of work, I wanted to be really great at lighting so that I didn't have to retouch them.
Right.
Greg Gorman might have had another photographer in L.A. who did Hollywood stuff. He had budgets for retouching. There was no budget for retouching in rock and roll,
right.
You know. And you wanted that image, which appeared on a piece of film, to be perfect as it is.
Right.
Part of the problem for me with digital is that I'll get sloppy because it's like, you know, recording
yeah.
where you say, okay, we'll fix it in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just add some reverb on that. So there's a certain level of craftsmanship that I can get sloppy about.
That you can adjust later on your computer.
Yeah, and yeah. I shouldn't.
It's instant craftsmanship.
I really shouldn't.
Well, you mentioned lighting. You had Bob Dylan light for you once.
Yes, I did. It wasn't
lights.
Very successful. Bob, I had a piano in my studio, and when Bob was in New York, and if he felt comfortable enough, I guess he came over and he would use my piano. And I was packing up my equipment, and he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Oh, I know." I walked in and I said, "Okay, I had people working for me." And I said, "I don't want you to play too loudly because, you know, they're working. I pay them."
This
okay?
may be the only person
just,
to
like,
ever tell Bob Dylan to hold it down.
I did because it was. They'd be on the other side of the door listening. And I'd be like, "I told you could come here and do this, but I don't want it to cost me money."
Right.
Right. And he said, "Where are you going?" So I said, "Oh, I'm going to shoot Levon Helm." And he said, "Oh, I'll come with you." So I said, no, you're not coming with me. And he said, "Why? Why can't I come with you?" I said, "Well, here's what's going to happen, okay? It's for the cover of the Chicago time, Sunday, whatever right. it is. And I know I'm going to get like 20 minutes and I have to set up my lights and blah, blah, blah. And he'll see you and I'll be chopped liver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And away will go my 20 minutes. So you can't come. So he said, no, 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 I want to come. So I said, okay, the only way you can come is if you don't talk and you take light readings. And that's it, okay? You can talk when I'm all done. So we walk into Levon's dressing room, and of course, just like what I said would happen, happened, because Levon had been trying to call him ever since Bob was no longer part of, like, the basement Woodstock,
yeah.
and Bob wasn't returning the calls just because he doesn't return calls. And so he was like, oh, Bob Dylan, you know? And I'm like, I knew this was going to happen. So I said, here's a light meter. I set up my lights. I let him talk a little. And I said, okay, take the light reading. And he knew how to do this because when we did shoots, he didn't like me to have an assistant.
Right.
So
he would do it.
He would do it, which is fine.
Yep.
You know, it made it more of us doing it. Yeah. But I could have used the help. But anyway, the worst part of this was Bob, and I told Bob to like stay out of it because it was just a picture of Levon.
Right.
So this is a first, I think, where a photographer said to Bob, because Bob picked up a guitar that was sitting there. We were backstage. There were guitars. Mm-hmm. And Bob jumps into the shot with Levon, who has a mandolin.
Yeah.
And I said, get out of the picture. Meanwhile, Levon's dying to be photographed with Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm saying, get out of the picture. And Bob is laughing. Levon, like, is getting hysterical because of the way I'm talking to Bob. So, yes, that photograph and that story is in Rock and Roll Stories. And I believe it's in the show at Brian List Gallery.
That's an amazing story, because Bob Dylan doesn't get told what to do very often.
Yeah.
We've only got about 4 minutes left. Let's talk about praying with Bono.
Oh, my God.
Can you tell that story in a few minutes?
I'll try to go quickly.
Okay.
First of all, you asked me earlier about how did I know, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I have a certain, I guess, ability to kind of figure out who might become big.
Right.
So record labels like Columbia would ask me to listen to something, and I would say, yes, I think so, whatever. So Chris Blackwell of Island Records wanted me to come with him to go see this band, U2. And I was backstage with Chris before they went on, and they all, like, prayed together, but serious praying, not just the hand-holding.
Yeah,
it was serious praying. And then they came out on stage, and, you know, I looked at Blackwell and said, you know, they're horrible. Bono can't dance. Do not sign this band. So obviously I was quite wrong there. But anyway, it was a few years after that, a person who I had co-managed Grand Funk Railroad with, because I also did that.
You did two very classic album covers for them, at least.
Oh, I did quite a few. I even killed them with Born to Die.
I intentionally killed them.
I put them in coffins.
In coffins on the front of the album.
No, that was my, like... That was, but anyway, so Andy suddenly died, and the next thing I knew, there was a knock on my door, and it was Bono, and he said, you know, let's get down on our knees and pray. And, you know, that wasn't really my cup of tea, but I was, like, just so impressed that he was that caring.
Right.
It's not like he was a close friend of mine like Patty or Frank Zappa, or, you know what I mean? I really didn't know him that well, but he heard about it and he knew that this person meant a lot to me. And that was, you know, that will always make him very dear to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's those special moments, I guess, that you look back on now and say, I am a rock and roll photographer.
Well, I like to think I'm just a photographer, but if people want to do that, it's fine, because the reality is when I look at all my file cabinets of film, much less my digital files, the majority of my work has been photographing musicians, whether it was the concert pianist Israel Horovitz. You know, there's a range of musicians, but the bulk of it is rock and roll. And I'm very clear how, as a child, when my parents were divorced, it was rock and roll that made me feel connected. And it was Little Richard, you know, who just made me realize, oh, my God, you know, life is like a life is big.
And loud and wild.
Well, whatever it is. I didn't know what it was, but it was big. Yeah.
We have 1 minute left for you to tell me what makes a classic photograph.
Me. Sorry, that was obnoxious.
No, not at all.
I think
with
the viewer,
amount of classic photographs you've taken, I
no,
think
the viewer makes a classic photograph. Yeah. It's what it means to them.
And you have no idea, right? When you take something, when you put things out there, you can't tell how people are going to respond. You can judge your own response to it. But do you sometimes find that pictures that you think are end up being ones that really grab people?
No? Yes, that's true. However, when I'm shooting and I know I hit it, it's very bizarre, but little sounds come out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I make sounds. And when I'm not getting it, you know, I'm very clear about that. I actually say, no, 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 no. And there might be a person in the room, or it could be a still life.
Right.
So I feel I know when I've gotten it. However, I've been fortunate enough that rock and roll has been collected by museums now and is considered, you know, investment quality fine art. And because of that, I have learned that certain people, a lot of people, have a connection to photographs that really I don't.
Right.
I mean,
I would imagine, and we're out of time, but I would imagine it's like music. It's subjective, and it speaks to you or it doesn't.
Hey, it's art. It's art.
It's art. Lynn Goldsmith, this has been an absolute treat. Thank you so much for coming in. Lynn's photographs are on display right now at the List Gallery, 112 Cumberland Street in Toronto. They'll be there till November 12th. Do yourself a favor. Go down and have a look at them and buy one. Thanks to Andre and Mark on the board. Thanks to you for listening.